your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 14, down through Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that was called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Our study of the Lord Jesus continues today as we seek to unfold his compassion towards us at this hour. Our subject is the compassion of Christ. The tragedy of today is that some seek to humanize Christ or to bring him down to the level of man. Others try to make him so lofty that he is beyond the reach of any of us. The Word of God sets forth the proper medium between these two theories just mentioned. Today we shall view Christ as he ministers for us in heaven and see that his compassion is still being unfolded toward us. Our lesson falls into these categories. First of all, the present ministry of Christ at this hour. Then secondly, the particular ministry to his people. And then thirdly, the practical lesson if we have the time. You follow along in your Bible and you listen carefully if you will, and then you pray as the Lord meets with us, that the Lord will meet with us, and that his word will go home in might and power. Now let's look at the present ministry of Christ at this hour. The first thing he does, or he's doing, is this. There is a continual presentation of the blood. Now this was established in eternity past as it was planned by the Godhead. Take your Bibles now and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and look with me at verse 18 through 20, and then we're going to go through the book of the Revelation in chapter 13. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, we read, For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now these dear people that don't believe in the doctrine of election or foreordination, they just are in a quandary when it comes to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ at this hour. You see, this was all established in eternity past. The Lord Jesus Christ was slain from before the foundation of the world, and we find that it was foreordained by God himself before the foundation of the world, but it was manifest in these last times for us. Now turn again to Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Where we read, And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Now, the continual presentation of the blood, it was established in eternity past. It was planned by the Godhead. Then, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was poured out at the cross of Calvary. In Matthew chapter 26, and look with me again, if you will, at verse 28, where we find the Word of God brings this out for our learning. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Here you find the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ poured out at the cross as our Lord said it would be. Then take your Bibles again and turn to Hebrews chapter 9. And look with me at verses 11 through 15, and you'll see that not only is there the continued presentation of the blood, it was established in eternity past, planned by the Godhead, and poured out at the cross, but we find it was presented by the Lord God of heaven himself in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, we read, But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling of the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now here you have the present ministry of the Lord Jesus at this hour. It was established in eternity past, planned by the Godhead. His blood was poured out at the cross. Then it was presented by himself, by Christ in heaven. Now the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is efficacious in its application. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, turn again to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, where we read, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." What do we have here? We have here the efficacious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By efficacious, we mean this: it is effective. And we find that when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because his blood was shed for sinners. And my friend, I hope and pray that his blood was shed for you. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ presented the blood in heaven but one time. Again, Hebrews chapter 9, look with me if you will, at verses 11 through 15. We've read that before, but now in Hebrews chapter 9, and verse 24 through 26, we read, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but in the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." And we find here the Lord Jesus Christ presented his blood in heaven but one time. Then it is perpetual in its effectiveness. Again, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. Notice, "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Now, what are we trying to set forth here? We see the continual presentation of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at this hour. It was established in eternity past. It was poured out at the cross. It was presented by Christ in heaven. It is efficacious in its application, presented in heaven but once, and it is perpetual in its effectiveness. Therefore, anyone and everyone who despise or degrade the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ just have never been truly born again. You beware of these preachers who make fun and who disparage the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, his precious blood was shed on our behalf that we through him might have eternal redemption. Now this is all brought out in our lesson today. Now let's look at the particular ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ to his people at this hour. Our subject is the compassion of the Lord Jesus. Our Lord fulfilled the work that he had to do, and he accomplished it absolutely and entirely and eternally. And today our Lord is carrying on a work on our behalf because of his compassion for us. We find he continually rebukes Satan at this hour. A lot of people today, you know, they just don't know where the devil is. Well, take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 12, and I'll show you where the devil is most of the time. In Revelation chapter 12, beginning with verse 9, we read, "And that great dragon that was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And Satan, being the accuser of the brethren, he accuses us before the Lord. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ constantly is efficacious in our behalf. This is all brought about because of the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, my Lord also has a particular ministry to his people at this present hour. First of all, he is sympathetic to our temporal afflictions. Now take your Bibles, if you will, and you turn back with me to the Old Testament, the book of Zephaniah. And we find in Zephaniah, the Word of God brings out very clearly these marvelous things. Listen to what it says. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 12. Listen to it. I also will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. God's people are afflicted. God's people are poor. And we find very clearly, yet God's people are rich in him. And we find that the particular ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ at this hour is this. He is sympathetic to our temporal afflictions. He knows the pain which racks the body. And I'll tell you right now, my Lord understands, because my Lord went through that, through great deal of pain for on our behalf. Now, as we've said before, with his stripes we are healed, but that's not speaking of physical healing, that's speaking of spiritual healing. But in Isaiah chapter 53, we find the pain that our Lord endured. In Isaiah 53 verse 5, we read, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And we find very clearly, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. My Lord was afflicted by God on our behalf, that through him we might have eternal life. But my Lord is sympathetic to our temporal afflictions. He's sympathetic to the pain which racks the body. Then he's sympathetic also to the providence that tries us. There are believers at this present hour who are having a very difficult time. Some of them perhaps may be in deep poverty, and they wonder, does anyone care? Yes, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ cares. He's sympathetic to it, because in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20, he knows what poverty is all about. For Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Then our Lord also is sympathetic to the persecutions that drain us. In Matthew chapter 12, again chapter 12 and verse 13, the Word of God says these things for our learning. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the others. And the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Here you have the persecutions. And my friend, people today who are trying to live for the Lord Jesus Christ are suffering persecution, because the world never has, never did, and never will put its stamp of approval upon a work of God. And providence tries us, and we find very clearly a believer may fall into poverty, but God knows all about it, and he's sympathetic to it. Then we find also there is a perfidious betrayal of friends. In Psalm chapter 55, you have the betrayal of friends, and my Lord also understands that, and we see it set forth for our learning. In Psalm chapter 55, we find very clearly these things, beginning with verse 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into the pit, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. And we find this is what it says. Here you have the betrayal of friends, and my Lord knows what it means to be betrayed by friends. Then our Lord also shares with us in our spiritual afflictions. We find, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Our Lord understands when an individual is going down the route of conviction. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6 we read, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And when the Holy Spirit begins to deal with a sinner's heart, that individual is convicted of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment to come. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And our Lord shares with us in our spiritual afflictions. He knows all about our sin because He bore our sin on the tree. He knows also all about the wrath of God because the wrath of God was poured out upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and He drank the cup of God's wrath and drained it dry. Then our Lord also knows what it means to be plagued with the curse of the law, because the law says, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things of the law to do them." But our Lord also was hung on a tree, because we read very clearly, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." And then our Lord knows also what it means for the face of God to be hidden from Him. And we see this is set forth in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 45 and 6, where in the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice and said, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And you see, our Lord knows all about that. And a sinner under conviction gets just a little taste of this, and so the individual understands how great a salvation we have. But our Lord is sympathetic to all of this. And then He sets an example with regard to all temptations. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, as our text said in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. And then He encourages us to bring our trials unto Him. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ sympathized with us under heavy burdens, and will alleviate them or support us under them, or if not removed, He will sanctify them and make them work for our eternal and spiritual good. Now all of this I sum up to tell you very clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ is a compassionate Christ. He understands all His people. He understands all the trials that we have, and He encourages us to bring our burdens unto Him. Now I'm going to ask you a question at this hour. Are you turning to the Lord with all your heart? Are you serving Him and bringing your burdens unto Him? My, I hope and pray that you are. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, my hope is that something has been said that will bring you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Because the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord God of heaven to reach down and deliver you. My hope is that you will come to know Him. Just remember, you that are under conviction, my Lord knows all about it, because He bore your sin on the tree in His own body, that we through Him might be saved with an everlasting salvation. Or if you don't know my blessed Lord, my hope is that you'll turn to Him, even at this hour, sue for mercy, and beg Him to come into your heart and save you. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.